now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho. Welcome to the show where we interview legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Ivan Brown, Bill Bartlett, Reg Nave, Steve Walmsley, and Bill Albaugh made its debut in 1967 with Turn Around and Take a Look. Its rudimentary style was then replaced by the measured approach of aspiring songwriter production team Paul Leka and Shelly Pince. Together they created a distinctive Lemon Piper sound, a sparkling melange of sweeping strings and percussive vibra slaps, exemplified on the group's million-seller hit, Green Tambourine. The intended album contains several songs, Rice is Nice, Shoeshine Boy, which were recorded in a similar style, but the set also contained the startling Through With You, an extended tour de force for Bartlett's rampaging guitar work and a surprise for those anticipating Easy on the Ear Fare. Subsequent recordings failed to match their early success, and although a second album, Jungle Marmalade, offered several inventive moments, the Lemon Pipers were tarred as a bubblegum attraction on the strength of that first hit. The group broke up in 1969, although Bartlett later found success as a member of Ram Jam, predominantly known for their hit single Black Betty in 1977. Ivan and his wife, Issa, started traveling together in 1973. They performed in Rhode Island, Hawaii, Alaska, and New Hampshire, where they were married and started the Ivan and Issa Band in October of 1975. Their musical travels continued to Florida and Ohio. 1977, I and I settled down in Sonoma, California, where they played 108 consecutive weeks as a house band at Santa Rosa's Ponderosa Club. May 1981, they once again packed up their equipment and headed for the East Coast and traveling through Rhode Island, Ohio, and back to California. And in March of 1985, Ivan and Issa bought a ridgetop home in Mendocino, California from the Doors Ray Manzarek's family. Please welcome singer, songwriter, and musician for 60s psychedelic rock band Lemon Pipers, Ivan Brown, to the Ray Shasho Show. Hello, Ivan.
Thank you. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling.
Good to have you on the phone, man. I was a big fan of top 40 60s music, and I had a lot of guys on the show. It's just a fantastic era, and you know, Green Tambourine was one of those hits that, you know, exemplifies the 60s. It really does.
Well, it was a little strange with the sitar and the tabla, the boom, boom. Yeah, so, and they, wait, my favorite part, the delay, the play, 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 play.
Exactly.
That was the best part, of course.
But, you know, you had success as a teenager, Ivan and the Sabres. You guys opened for the Stones in 64 on their first American tour. And you toured with the Beach Boys, and you opened for the Birds, Jan and Dean, Little Anthony. Tell me a little bit about that.
Boy, I was thinking of telling you all this stuff. You already told my entire past already. So you already know that stuff. Oh, well. No, but it was, that's what I'm telling you. 1964 was probably maybe even more important in my memory than 68 because it was the first time around. We opened for the Stones, and only 700 people came.
Really? You're kidding me.
No, it was their first American tour. They did well on the coast, but the interior, nobody liked them. Because Dayton, Ohio, They liked the Beatles. They hated hair, though. They hated hair, but the Beatles wore matching outfits and bowed. I have the Dayton Daily News article of our concert that we opened for the Stones in 64, and it says the journalists were saying that Mick's hair looks unwashed. I mean, they were so rude to the Stones. It was great. I mean, it was terrible.
How did you guys fare on the bill?
Well, we opened for them, and so that was a thrill of a lifetime.
Did you guys blow them away?
Not quite. No, but in fact, we were backstage, and I only got to talk to Bill Wyman, the bass player, is all.
Really?
And it was very bad. Only 700 people came. Mick was mad. They almost came to blows with the promoter. And Brian Jones wasn't there. They only played about a half hour.
Hmm.
But it was great fun for us. We impressed the hell out of our dates. Yeah.
You had some good music back then. Just Let Her Go, which came out
see,
in 64.
I thought I was going to tell you about my past.
Okay, go ahead.
But you already know all about it. Oh, well. No, but here's the thing. Yeah, I started Ivan and the Sabres in 61. And we got pretty famous in 64 with a local hit, Just Let Her Go, regional. And got to open for everybody. So that's how that happened. But we backed up a lot of singers in that year. Little Anthony and the Imperials, twice. Imagine that. We couldn't play hardly at all, and we had to back them up, and they showed up, and one of the Imperials had a briefcase full of charts. We were going, oh, no. I don't see how we did it. Right now, I can't imagine how we did it. We played once in Dayton and once in Toledo in an all-black audience, and we were the only white people in the hall, and we backed up Little Anthony and Agent 00 Soul, Edwin Starr, and we saw in the aisles, it was funny, we could see a paper bag being passed up and down the aisles like a collection plate. Probably a gallon of wine or something.
How old were you back then?
19 in 64.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah, to open for the Stones at 19 and then to have a number one hit at 22.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so lucky, I thank my parents, Jane and Elvin Brown, to have had me in 45 to be right in the right time for Elvis. Right time. 11 years old, I bought my first Elvis 45.
But who did you meet back then? Did you get to meet the Beatles at all?
No, not the Beatles, but just the Stones and Birds and lots of bands that we opened for. And stuff. I mean, and the funny thing is, in Ohio, there were a few bands that we were playing with. Ivan and the Sabres were playing with the Rick Z Combo a lot. We did a few gigs. In fact, many of the DJ record hops, we worked with DJs all the time. We loved it, and they had played records, and then we'd have a band, sometimes two bands, and lots of times Ivan and the Sabres and Rick Z Combo played because he was from Union City, Indiana, and he changed his name to Derringer.
That's right.
Rick Z Combo we played with. We played with Music Explosion, Jamie Lyons. We knew each other before each I had a national hit.
You know, Rick lives down the street from me here.
No way.
I'm in Bradenton, and he lives over here. I run into him from time to time.
Wait, I know that. In 2006... we did a PBS, J.T. Lubinsky's 60s Generation show.
Right.
Well, I was on that, and in the green room, I saw Rick, remembered me, of course. We were there, and he was telling me that he was in Florida.
Yep.
And so that matches up. Oh, and you are, too. That's so funny. Yeah, because I do. Rick, oh, boy.
He's a good guy.
He really is. He was one of the early fast guitar players,
Another big hit you guys had was It's Not Like You. That was another great song.
Oh, well, that was the flip side of Just Let Her Go, and I don't think it ever got played on the radio even.
Good tune. I found it on YouTube.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, you got Ivan and the Sabres are all over YouTube.
I can't believe it.
And I found Toning the Bandits as well.
That is really good. Did you get hit? What, they had one big hit, a bit of all right.
It's a bit of all right, correct.
Right, they were trying to be British. It's a bit of all right. And they were so big they got on Shindig.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and here's the thing, Tony and the Bandits somehow broke up with Tony, asked me to leave the Sabres and join them.
Right.
My best friend Larry Butler, the keyboard player, he said, well, you're not going to do it, are you? I said, well, yeah, I got it. So I joined them, replaced Tony. We played a few gigs as Tony and the Bandits. And then they changed the name to Lemon Pipers. I voted against it. I said, that's stupid and nowhere, and I'd rather be Bobby and the Camshafts or something.
Yeah, how did the name come about anyway?
The drummer Bill Allball and Ted Hunt, some fast-talking agent or something. I don't know, but I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
I tried.
Mm. Is it true that during a battle of bands in Ohio at Cleveland Auditorium, you lost out to the James Gang?
No, I was never. I was never aware of any such thing.
Okay, so that's wrong.
Yeah, you know what? That reminds me. There is so much misinformation out there. In fact, I have this thick book of rock and roll history and and the stories about me I know are wrong, so I can't trust the stories about anybody. You know what I mean?
Could you imagine how much misinformation there is about the Beatles, you know?
Because even little old me, they got it wrong.
Yeah, how about that?
They had this picture, it's five young men from New York. I don't think so. Come on.
What was the band's intention before you signed up for Buddha? Because, you know, I personally don't think Green Tambourine was a bubblegum song. To me, Bubblegum was the Archies, you know, the Ohio Express, the Royal Guardsmen. To me, that's bubblegum. But, you know, Green Tambourine to me was a really cool psychedelic tune.
You're right. It is not bubblegum at all.
No,
but the rest of the songs they made us sing, that's the thing. We, like many bands, signed a really bad contract. We probably never read it.
Right.
And we had no control over anything. They could tell us what to do. In fact, they hired us only to be Paul Lekka's studio band.
Mm-hmm.
They never put any of our songs out as a single. And we had made two albums. Half albums was Lekka's songs, half were our songs.
Yep.
Produced by ourselves with no producer. You know, real bands have a real producer, and they're very important. Felix Pappalardi, I mean, we had nobody.
Mm.
And we didn't know how to record. We did nothing. And so it was just such a bad contract, like a lot of people have. Little Richard and John Fogerty, everybody's had bad contracts. But anyway, it was really a bad scene, and our booking agent didn't like us because we were just hippies that stood there jamming, and you have no act. Action Talents lady, Betty Sperber, was complaining to us about not having an act. And they're right, we didn't have any act. We're hippies just standing around jamming. Oh, well.
But you know, it's a shame, as you guys did make some pretty good music.
Hey,
you know,
wait a minute. You already got the gist of my story that I always say is the dichotomy of we were a heavy hippie band.
That's right. You're a good band.
In Dayton. First long hairs. In fact, I was couldn't get in a bar because of my long hair. And in one bar I was in, he said, here's a free beer, and it's your last one. You got to go. Because the shorter people have fights with long hair people.
That's
so
crazy.
I actually got to see a little discrimination. It was pretty weird.
Yeah. Well, I had long hair back in high school, down to my shoulders, I guess.
Great.
Hey, if you didn't have long hair, you weren't cool.
Well, but the earliest ones, boy, wasn't good. Dayton didn't like it. Oh,
I know.
That, we did play with the Beach Boys in a couple of cities, and with the Shangri-Las, and there was one in Detroit, maybe, that we had. The tour had the entire hotel level, the whole floor, And down the hall was the Beach Boys were in one room, Shangri-La's in another room, and there's a big party room that we were all at. And I remember sitting on a couch next to the Shangri-La's lead singer. My God, what was her name? She was so perfect. And she tried on my sunglasses that changed to dark. Boy.
That's pretty cool.
I wish I had those sunglasses today.
Did you mingle with anybody back in the day? Was there anybody you guys kind of hung out with?
Well, let me see. Actually, in 2006, when I did that PBS show,
right,
we all stayed in a hotel, and then they limited us down to the venue, excuse me, and we were standing waiting for the limo to come back to take us back to the hotel, and Gene Cornish of the Rascals was standing there, so we talked to Gene Cornish for a while. That was fun, and I remembered he played a Barney Kessel guitar, and he said, "You're right."
Hmm.
And then in the hotel, in the lobby, was some ancient cars. It was beautiful. And Dennis of the Buckinghams was hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It was very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
And the best thing was Monster Mash.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Boris Pickett was
Bobby
there.
Bobby Boris and, Pickett, yeah.
And I have a picture of him with me. And he died 2 years after that video.
Yeah. You guys could have gone far, though, man. I mean, it's such a shame. I listen to a lot of your music. Shoeshine Boy, to me, you know, was very Beatlish, in my opinion. It was a great track. You did a track called I Was Not Born to Follow with the Carole King tune.
I like that one.
That was great. You guys wrote some good stuff, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I was so embarrassed about the worst ones. It was traumatic for me. I was psychologically damaged, I guarantee
right.
you. It was so bad that I quit the Lemon Pipers and went back to college. I didn't
right.
read much more, and I graduated. As soon as classes ended, I moved to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I formed a band and didn't tell them my past for 6 months. Mm. I was so embarrassed. It was terrible. I mean, I'm sorry to the people that like that stuff, actually.
Right.
But I get emails of some, we liked that, and we played it at our wedding. And it was killing me. It was terrible. It was the worst thing. See, it was a great to be number one. Oop-de-doo. But Green Tambourine is totally different than those other ones. In fact,
yep.
my second best song of Green Tambourine was Jolly Jungle. Check it
mm-hmm.
out.
Yep.
Please don't play anything else but Green Tambourine and Jolly Jungle. Or Not Born to Follow, or Art Through With You. That Through With You, listen to that, that's who we were. We were
yeah.
not those songs. We were
yeah.
Through With You.
Yeah. You
and
had
happened to a lot of groups, I guess.
I had Ed King on the show from the Strawberry Alarm Clock back in your time. You know, that was another, you know, that was all part of that era as well. He did well. He went on with Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That's great. In fact, I think years ago, somebody from them emailed me for some reason. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what are we up to? Oh, yeah. When I moved to San Francisco,
right.
one reason was in Ohio, no band. I have to get a job. I have to cut my hair. I heard the Supreme Court decided post office could not deny hair. I moved to San Francisco, got a day job, a mailman, and kept my hair.
Oh, you cut your hair finally, huh?
No, I kept my hair.
Oh, you kept your hair, okay.
I
yeah.
moved to San Francisco so I wouldn't have to cut it. And I got a day job and formed a band. And I was
Man.
So sick of the crap I was recording, we formed a band, the Rockabilly Rhythm Boys.
Right.
We were hard country. Oh, well. And then I was a mailman, and on my mail route was Issa, and she was at the end of my route and had an apartment with a swimming pool, and so I would park my Jeep there and go swimming for a couple hours and then go clock out.
Mm.
And we took off together, and that's
right.
how I met Issa. And then in 75 we started the Ivan and Issa band, and I wish I could give you some of our songs. We have 6 originals, and her I'm Different is a really great song. She's the up-and-coming with it, I'm Different. Well, you hear it. It's a great song It's good for every disaster. It's like,
right.
It's a great one. Oh, well. Hey, okay. So this is great. Are we up to... I told you about Ray Manzarek.
Right? Yep, you bought the family's house, right?
From his cousin's
aunt.
In fact, we have a framed handwritten note from him on the wall. It says, "To Ivan and Issa, thanks for helping my cousin Francine. Hope you like this album. Ray Manzarek, The Doors."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need to put parentheses and underline The Doors. I think Ray Manzarek... I think I might have known it was probably The Doors. And then P.S., keep your green tambourine popping.
Yeah, he was a great keyboard player.
Here's the thing. There's no date on it, but we could date it by the date of that album, Carmina Burana.
Right.
So
now, are you serious about some of the music that you wrote? You weren't happy with it? You mean like Shoeshine Boy?
I didn't. Those are Lekka songs.
Uh-huh.
Those are all Lekka songs.
Right. How about, you did a blues song. Was it hardcore? What about that one?
Well, those are ours. You can tell which ones are. But I actually talk about Shoeshine Boy and Lonely Atmosphere I like.
Okay.
You know, my old Aunt Ruby liked that one.
Okay.
And she was the only relative that didn't mind my long hair. My parents hated it. But, no, Shoeshine Boy, you know what? I have a separation. I say, that is not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Seriously,
yeah.
In my mind, I hear him, and Paul Lekka's arrangements are great.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. I just don't want it to be me.
Right.
In my mind, it's not me.
Well, let's talk about Green Tambourine. How did that all play out? How did you pick the? I guess they picked a song for you.
Yeah, they picked everything for us, and they brought it to us, and we said, "Sure, we'll do it."
Right.
Yeah. So we recorded it in Cleveland.
Okay.
Cleveland recording, and probably 67 towards the end of 67. And so. That was it. And then we did an album. Yeah, I just wish they could have played through with you on the air. Oh, I'm back to Green Tambourine. Right. So that's what we did.
Yeah. Well, it was a great song. It's one of those songs that you'll never forget. You know, it'll live on forever.
Well, it's rather hippie-ish.
Yeah, I love it. I always did.
I don't mind it. But I'd like... Mm-hmm. Did I tell you about Jelly Jungle?
Yeah, another great song. Yep.
Listen to it. It was passed off as a nice little happy little bubblegum thing, but listen to the lyrics. It's it's parental guidance. Really? I mean, it's subtle.
Whose idea was it to incorporate the sitar in the music? Because that was... Long time ago. That was like right after the Beatles, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was. It must have been Bartlett. I'll bet Bill Bartlett wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I bet. And I have one, of course. I bought a little electric one that I played in 2008. We had a big reunion. The first time we played together in 40 years was 2008 in Cincinnati, where they had all the bands that used to play together in Cincinnati in 68 played, like the Sacred Mushroom.
Right.
They were a great band. Larry Goshorn's band. He went on to do Amy, What You Wanna Do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he was there, and that was a great 40th anniversary. And then we just played last August 12th in Covington, Kentucky, a similar assembly of 60s Cincinnati bands.
Mm-hmm.
So this is... Lemon Pipers have played twice since 68.
Now didn't you play a Vox Phantom guitar during that?
You must have seen that recent one, right?
I did see that, yeah.
You know, I don't do computers, so I don't see anything. I don't know what's going on.
That's a cool guitar, man.
They loaned it to me for the gig.
Uh-huh.
they loaned it to me. It was a great one, because other gigs I shipped mine back east, but this time I said, nah, give me one. And that was beautiful. I love that. And you know what? Back in the day, I had a Rickenbacker 12-string, blonde, like Jim McGuinn, and Bartlett played a Phantom 12. Imagine two 12-strings together. We were...
Wow.
And he was such a great guitar player, and Bob Nave was a great Hammond organ player. Wow. They were great. I didn't have to do anything.
Did Bill ask you to maybe join Ram Jam at the time, or what was going on
there?
Oh,
hell no. I was long gone.
You're gone? You're in Frisco?
He doesn't need me. I left. I quit the band in September and left the next August for Frisco. Yeah, and it's so beautiful up here where we live. We're in wine country, but I don't drink wine. But we got wine country and medicinal marijuana and everything.
So, medicinal marijuana, it's not completely legal yet?
Oh, I think so, probably. Oh, well.
It will. I guess it will be. We're still waiting for everything to get approved here in Florida. But, you know, we'll get the medical marijuana that's been approved. So we're waiting for everything else. It's, it should be legal everywhere. I don't know what the big hassle has been all these years. I really don't.
Well, I don't know if we can be political like this, but anyway, we're doing good out here. It's great.
Good.
To talk to somebody that knows and cares about everything. Well, you got not just rock and roll, you got everything. That's great.
I saw the Mike Douglas show appearance you guys did. I remember Sebastian Cabot was on the show. You guys did Green Tambourine. I think you did Rice is Nice as well. You remember that?
That was the most embarrassing point in my life. I should have gone Kurt Cobain. I'm not kidding. What do you think? I didn't tell anybody who I was for you.
That was a weird show.
That is why.
Yeah. Big.
But if you noticed, I was putting him on.
Yeah, yep. I
was on
that.
Top of it. In the interview, I was like, oh, no, we're still in college. We bring our books in our limo.
Yeah,
and,
I heard that.
And he believed it.
Yeah.
So at least I was cheeky enough. And they were promised to have punch a button and have my play. They didn't.
They made me
sing live. Why couldn't we lip sync like every other show? See, that was so embarrassing. We played the Dick Clark interviewed me. I've never seen that one yet. But lip sync. Oh, we love lip sync. It's so easy.
Yeah, it is easy. Yep.
But they forced me to sing live on the worst song in my life that I would hate anybody that sang it.
Yeah. You sang live a lot of times on a lot of shows, as a matter of fact. I noticed. It's like they made you sing live on a lot of shows, because I could tell. Yeah, I know the studio version, you know, of Green Tambourine, and I can hear the big difference.
God, I know it's terrible. I hate that, because I have my own equipment here. I have everything, and I always have an echo for myself. I have an echo chamber. I can't play without an echo chamber.
Yeah. Yeah, the echo chamber was so big in the 60s. I mean, I was a DJ back in the late 70s, and we had an echo chamber, you know, and I loved it for the station.
Oh, you know? Sure.
I loved it. They don't make that sound anymore, you know. The 60s sound was incredible. You know, today everything's just overproduced and, you know, I don't know. It was such a wonderful time.
That's the thing. I'm so lucky to have been in the early rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first album, I mean, the very first single I bought was Lonnie Donegan's Skiffle Group.
Oh, yeah.
Because your chewing gum lose your flavor on the bedpost overnight. And then the second record I bought was Elvis Heartbreak Hotel. Boy, the first record on RCA Victor.
Mm.
And the first album I ever bought was Johnny and the Hurricanes, Red River
Rock. Johnny and the Hurricanes, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I think my first was the Twist, Chubby Checker, and Purple People Eater.
Love that one. Are you kidding? And Witch Doctor, I liked all of them.
Yeah.
And you know who I really loved was Buchanan and Goodman.
Buchanan and Goodman, yep.
I checked with my local outlet, and nobody makes it anymore.
I have a jukebox full of 45s.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, all the old stuff, man. All, you know, it's.
Hey, well, let me send you one.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't have green I don't have Green Tambourine in there.
Well, I'll send you one.
All right, I appreciate that. That'd be great.
Sure. Do I have your mailing address somewhere, maybe?
I'll email it to you.
Okay, that's good. Oh no, I got it. And how about if I send you our music too?
I cannot find you and Issa's music on YouTube because I was going to talk about.
I don't think it's there.
It's not. Yeah.
Try our website, ivanandisa.com, might have it.
Right.
Maybe, but I'll send you a copy of our 6 songs.
Oh yeah, I'd love to hear it.
And
how's Issa doing?
Oh, she's doing great. She's working a day job.
Mm-hmm.
She's been at this receptionist at a veterinarian for 14 years.
Oh wow, cool.
She's
good
still
job.
Working, and we're still playing. And we got to record her songs too. She plays a Stratocaster.
Oh, does she?
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. She wangs the twang bar really hard. Yeah.
Cool.
It's great. Yeah, so you'll have to hear us someday.
Definitely. Are you guys going to, you know, come out with anything new here?
Well, actually, I've just recently recorded 4 new songs by myself.
Okay.
So I have 4 originals, and I got to record some more. That's my main mission right now, except up on our hill, we just got down about 7 big trees because we had the big fire up here in Northern California. And
that's
it came
right.
close, and we had to evacuate for 3 days. So we cut down all these trees around us so we'll be safer. And we got a better view anyway.
How close did the fire get to your house?
Oh, about a mile.
Holy cow.
But
wow.
So
there's nothing you can do, right?
I know. It's scary. Yeah, but now that with these trees are gone, if
right.
another fire comes, we're going to stay here and spray on it and not evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
Stay
wow.
and spray, I hope, next time. But I hope there won't be one. This is great. So say hi to Rick Derringer if you want.
I sure will.
Tell him, Rick Z, Ivan, that is so funny that you would be there. That's great.
Yeah, he still dresses really, really nifty. You know, he's a... That very dapper guy, the way he dresses and everything.
Oh, that's so funny. I knew that he said he was in Florida.
Yep. I got a question for you. Didn't you work with Evan Johnson, the H-Bombs?
I don't think so.
I think you did. You remember a song called The Boogie Disease?
No.
With Evan Johns, no, I did see on YouTube with Evan Johns, who passed away, but it was a good blues group from D.C. Actually, he was born and raised in Virginia, but
it can't be me.
Yeah, there's another Ivan out there, Ivan Brown,
with an E on the end of Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
I'll send you the link. How's that?
Well, when did this happen?
It's been a while. You know, he's passed away, and but you were on stage. Yeah, it looked like you. You were
jamming
out with him, playing some blues.
That's pretty weird. Because we played behind Jan and Dean once, Ivan and
right.
the Sabres. We
right.
backed Jan and Dean up and played all their songs. And then the next week, they were at a different place, the Sourceville Amusement Park, and we, the band, went to watch them. So we were in the audience watching, waiting for Jan and Dean to come on, and there was a delay, and we went back and see what's the delay. And they said, oh, the band that was supposed to back them up can't back them up. They said the sheet music blew out the window or something, and they can't back them up. So we, the Sabres, jumped out of the audience and backed up Jan and Dean.
That's funny.
That
sheet music blew away.
Cool. I mean, really.
That's funny.
And after it, Dean pulled out a wad of bills from his jeans. and offered us some money. I said, oh, no, this was cool. You don't have to pay us. That was dumb.
Yeah, I know.
That was stupid. Come on.
I've done a lot of that, a lot of freebies.
But we were so blown out by doing it, right?
Yeah. You guys, were you guys invited to Woodstock at all?
Oh, hell no.
No?
No, we were nothing.
But well, I think you should have been. I don't know. I mean, I talked to Melanie. You know, Melanie's a friend, Melanie Safka, and she was very, very new when she got to Woodstock. Not too many people knew her. So I think you guys probably would have had a decent name.
Oh, and anyway, what was the name of the girl that did What the World Needs Now?
Oh, God.
I never remember her name.
Not Dusty Springfield, is it?
No,
not Petula Clark.
The other one.
Not Petula Clark?
No. But anyway, the PBS show that Monster Mash was on, and during the rehearsal, she took like a long, long time. Boy, she is strict.
Mm-hmm.
That girl is strict. Yeah, boy.
Was that Dionne Warwick, maybe?
No.
Not Dionne Warwick.
Well, if you can't think of it, I don't feel too bad about not thinking of it.
Well, it is Dionne Warwick. What the World
no,
Needs
it's,
Now.
No, it's
it is
some
Dionne
white
Warwick.
Girl. Some white girl.
I guess it was done a few times. Oh, Jackie DeShannon?
Yes, that's it. Right.
There we go.
But anyway, she was so strict, and this one horn guy kept hitting the wrong note, and she was getting really mad.
Really?
Yeah, boy, it was great.
Here's a question.
Memory. I'm telling you some memories of my 1 year in showbiz.
Oh, no. It lasts forever, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Jeez.
I mean, you were the lead singer for that great song. I mean, you know, Green Tambourine was an awesome tune. And
when we did the PBS, I offered to bring the whole band, but they said, no, we have a backup band.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. You should be, you don't want to be on one of those shows with, like, you know, where they have four or five bands, you know, like the Happy Together Tour or anything like that?
Remember that there's a TV show? That's funny. The Bo Donaldson of the Haywoods a few months ago called me to talk about a possible tour of bubblegum bands, but nothing ever came of it.
Yeah. Because those are popular. They're really popular now. They sell out everywhere they go.
Boy, yeah. Well, I got all my equipment. I'm ready to go. I got everything.
I'll spread the word. I mean, I cover a lot of those. You know, like the Happy Together Tour. I've been involved with those guys for a long time with
Flo
and Eddie.
I can do it by myself. I can't get anybody else, but I'm ready to play. This will be great.
That'll be awesome. I mean, people would like to see you again, man.
Yeah,
really
it was fun to do this little thing last August. It was in a beautiful little theater, an actual theater with a stage. It was fun. Well, that's the one you saw probably that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll send you some links, you know, so you can watch them on YouTube. YouTube is a great thing, you know.
Yeah, I hope I can learn to do it someday.
Ivan, if you had a Field of Dreams wish like the movie to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
I don't know. My favorite singers are like Ray Charles.
Right.
That's my favorite singer.
Ray Charles.
And my first idol was Johnny Ray. Before Elvis was Johnny Ray, because he was almost getting wild, because I had not seen Cab Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought this white guy was all wild, but if I had seen Cab Calloway, I wouldn't have been so impressed.
Yeah, Johnny Ray was pretty big.
Oh, yeah, and he was kind of wild. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's my early influences, anyway.
Those are your early influences.
Yeah.
But did you like R&B? Did the R&B sound?
Oh, yeah, we did. In fact, Ivan and the Sabres had a great drummer, Freddie Myers, who sang James Brown. sang James Brown songs. Great. In fact, I would have to go play drums so Freddie could go out and sing James Brown. We'd please, 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 please. We did all of the James Brown, man. We did, yeah. Maybe that's why those black audience liked us.
Yeah.
I bet, because we were doing James Brown. And Freddie Myers, he quit the Sabres in 68 and moved to France for some reason and met Brigitte Bardot. And
really?
She hooked him up with a couple of British producers. And so my Freddie Myers has been in France for 50 years, and he had a string of hits, a whole stack of singles. He's like the Engelbert Humperdinck of Paris. Mm-hmm. My Freddie Myers, and he's a great drummer, and he had a wooden leg always because of a club foot. So he had this wooden leg, and we used to make fun of it, use it on the road. Like, he would, in the parking lot, he would close the door on his ankle and bang it real hard and yell, and people would go, ah! And he would pull it off, slightly off, and hang it out the window. Freddie Myers.
Freddie Myers, huh?
Yeah, look him up. In fact, when he moved to Paris, he had to become Freddie Myers.
Is he still in Paris?
No, he had moved to Normandy.
Uh-huh.
But he used to play gigs at Disneyland Paris. He used to.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, and he was your drummer.
Yeah, Freddie Myers. Google him. In fact, YouTube him. There are concerts of him singing James Brown.
Huh.
My Freddie Myers.
You know, I really miss that. The great R&B artist. I can't think of anybody that nobody can match up to what we had in Motown in the 60s. And, you know, it's so different nowadays.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah, let me see. Well, let's see. I guess I told you already knew everything anyway.
Do you guys have children, grandchildren that are maybe in doing music?
Well, that's a funny thing. I was married earlier and had one boy.
Okay.
But I've been with Issa since 73.
Right.
So my kid is now old and has three kids, so I got three grandkids.
Three grandkids.
But Issa and I have never had a children. Issa has animals. We have lots of animals. She has four big dogs and three goats and 12 cats.
Wow.
And we live up on a hill away from everything. We look out the window, don't see any houses, no people.
Cool.
And we've been here 33 years right now.
Wow.
In the same place. It's unbelievable.
Huh.
It's so great. It's raining right now.
You must have a lot of land then.
Well, 10 acres.
10 acres, that's a lot.
And it's, none of it is flat.
Mm-hmm.
None of it. It's all steep up and down. So I thought with 10 acres we could have a baseball diamond and a football field. No, we don't have no flat land at all. But
right.
But it's scenic. And I got studio, a little tiny 10-by-12-foot room with 15 channels and one of almost every instrument.
So you got four songs recorded. So what do you think you'll do? Will you put out maybe an EP or it would go for an album or what do you think?
Well, there's nothing to do with it. I have them, I make them, but there's no place to put them. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And I've only written 20 songs in 50 years. And a friend of mine, Lip Butler, said, not exactly prolific, are ya? You know, 20 songs in 50. I mean, I've recorded 10 of them, so my mission in life is to record these next 10 songs.
That'd be great.
I got to do it.
Have you talked to Bill at all, Bill Bartlett?
No, nobody has. He's kind of a recluse.
Hmm.
Oh, he's been a recluse for many years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No way. Only maybe Bob Nave or maybe Wamsley has talked to him, maybe.
Yeah. And poor Bill passed away. Bill Alba.
Yeah, Bill Alba, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Huh. Well, what else would you like to promote? Is there any? You got some music in the works. We hope you make an album out of it, and we can promote the hell out of it when it's done. Anything else going on?
Well, I'm going to send you anything I have, and
okay.
If you can get me on a tour, it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, you
no,
know.
I can't leave for very long because Issa.
Right.
But in California, if there was something close in California.
That would be cool, yeah.
And it would be easy because I wouldn't need a band.
Well, there's so many guys like you that, you know, would love to get together and, you know, tour a little bit.
That's funny.
A lot
well,
of guys
hey,
from
Ray,
the 60s.
This has been great. I can't believe it.
It's been awesome, man.
Well,
yeah, it's been awesome.
I hope you have enough stuff to edit down to something good.
I got plenty.
I bet.
I'll email you, let you know when this will officially broadcast, and it's going to be on 5 different music sites. You'll be on YouTube and iTunes as well. I do a great job of promoting everybody. So
that's great. Hey, wait a
yep.
minute. Are you going to play tunes interspersed with this?
Am I going to do what?
Play any songs interspersed with this, or is it just one long talk?
When I publish this, I also publish this on 5 sites. It'll also be, believe it or not, in Belgium. I got a friend in Belgium that he's got a big music site out there, and he puts my show on there. But I always include music with all the sites that I publish. So yeah, I'll be putting besides Lemon Piper's music. If you can send me some of your music with Esau, yeah, I'll definitely put it on there.
But I was wondering, is it going to be interjected into the talk?
Oh, into the radio?
Yeah.
We could add a song.
Some interviews, sure. They talk a while and then play a song and talk a while and play a song.
Well, we like to talk a lot.
Okay, well, that's fine, sure.
Yeah. I'd rather hear all about your story than, you know, because people can always hear the music. But if you'd like us to include something in that, I can.
No, you can wait till I send you our stuff.
Okay, good. Because I want to play all the new stuff. And we'll definitely follow up when you get all your songs together, and I'll help you promote that as well.
That'll be great, Ray. Thanks a lot,
okay.
Man.
Okay. So, we'll stay in touch, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate
funny.
You being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And
my
best to Issa. Thank you, Ivan. Take care. For more information about Ivan and Issa Brown, visit www.ivanandissa.com. Very special thanks to Issa Brown. She's the one responsible for arranging this great interview with Ivan Brown, and of course the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of BBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of the Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at theRayShashoShow@gmail.com. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic Family and the Wacky Family Business. Or the second edition, Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. And have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on PBS Radio Station 1.